bipartisan group of lawmakers is introducing a new bill that would raise the time limit for survivors of clergy abuse to file civil lawsuits. The bill would increase the statute of limitations for survivors by 10 years, from age 35 to 45. The bill comes as a number of other states this year are changing time limits on these civil suits in clergy abuse cases. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this change? Should there be a statute of limitations for survivors of clergy abuse to sue? How do you feel about the current level of state support for victims? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Melissa Agard is a Democratic state senator from Madison representing the 16th District. Senator Agard, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Jesse James is a Republican state senator from Altoona, representing the 23rd District. Senator James, thanks for joining us again.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Senator James, can you talk about this 10-year change, age 35 to 45, why that particular number?
Well, I think bringing parity to our civil statutes, meaning our criminal statutes, just makes common sense and it's logical. I don't see why we couldn't get this done. Plus, with victims, timelines, and recollections and memories and stuff aren't always prevalent, like, right then and there. There's stuff that happens, and for them to have the opportunity, the 10 years to match the criminal versus civil, I think just makes sense.
And Senator Agard, some advocates say, hey, why not get rid of the statute of limitations in the first place, as some states are looking at doing? Why not go all the way in that direction?
Well, we know that for far too long, there have been legal barriers that have halted the justice and healing process for survivors of sexual violence in Wisconsin, and especially our kids. And it's past time that we act and make sure that we're providing folks the path to healing so that they can take care of themselves. And, you know, they're part of legislating is compromise. Is this the bill that I originally drafted? No. I am thrilled that Senator James is willing to walk through this path with me and lift up these stories? Yes. Am I hopeful that we can get to a point where all survivors are able to have that type of closure? Certainly, but I am proud of the work, the bipartisan work that is happening here, and I am grateful for the brave survivors who are able to share their stories and help us usher this through, and we'll cheer them on as they continue to pave the path.
Senator James, you chair the Senate's Children and Families Committee. Can you talk about the timeline for bringing this bill through the committee and to the whole legislature?
Yeah, very good question. I appreciate the question. Right now, we're from moving from the Assembly to the Senate and the requirements of legislation for our budget motions to go through the Joint Finance Committee. We've been strictly focusing on bills that pertain to the budget. As soon as the budget is done, we're going to move forward and get a hearing on this Child Victims Act bill.
Senator Agard, can you talk about the bipartisan work on this? People don't necessarily think of bipartisan cooperation in the legislature. I'm talking to a Democrat and a Republican right now about this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and frankly, this bill predates my time in the legislature. I've been in the legislature for a little over a decade at this point in time. And I know that there have been broad support of a coalition of people who have been rolling up their sleeves and working very hard to make sure that we're supporting children of survivors of sexual violence in the state of Wisconsin. I think we can all agree that it is an important job of legislators to make sure that our communities are safe, especially safe for our kids. And knowing that we have champions on both sides of the aisle to continue this conversation is really refreshing. And I look forward to being able to have this bill come to a hearing, probably early this fall, as Senator James said, and inviting survivors into the Capitol building to share their stories. And, you know, I think it's also really important for people across Wisconsin to know that, you know, this bill, this is something that we absolutely need to get across the finish line. But there's not one piece of legislation that is going to cure the harm that has been given to people in our communities, as well as knowing that there are other policies we can do to also prevent harm. And being able to have these conversations in a bipartisan manner, knowing that there are legislators of different political flavors that are prioritizing this, I think should give the people of Wisconsin some hope.
Senator James, when there have been past efforts to completely remove that timeline for civil suits, some religious organizations have objected, saying, hey, this could do severe financial harm to religious institutions, ultimately harming current parishioners, not just, you know, the past perpetrators of these acts. Do you want to address those concerns if people of faith groups may be fearing more lawsuits that could hurt their local place of worship?
You know, I have to agree with Senator Agard. This is something where our children are impacted by this. And I take it very serious. We have to fight for our youth that don't have strong enough voices at the age of when incidents like this occur. No matter whether it's religious affiliation, family affiliation, you know, there's victims that I've dealt with directly that have been dramatically impacted by these sexual acts for their entire life. And that's where it comes down to, I think, bringing some form of remedy, adding the 10 years to the civil is just a way to go, regardless of the church state of mind and concern.
And Senator Agard, as we wrap up, are there other things you want to see passed through the legislature to do what Senator James was talking about, provide some level of redress for victims of past clergy abuse?
Absolutely. There is a handful of policies that I have been outspoken about over the years. One addressing healthy relationships and dating violence for young people within our communities, the good touch, bad touch for younger kids as well. Those are two bills. And another, you know, making sure, and this one is a little bit trickier for some members of both of Senator James and my caucuses, is holding our clergy accountable as mandatory reporters of child abuse and neglect in the same way that we would for physicians and healthcare providers, school teachers and staff, counselors and social workers. I do not think that an exemption for clergy there is the right thing for the state of Wisconsin. Our kids are our most valuable resource, and having one of the most important jobs of government, ensuring safety of our children is paramount.
We'll leave it there. Senator Agard, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And Senator James, thanks for being with us.
So thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. That was Jesse James, Republican State Senator from Altoona, and Melissa Agard, Democratic State Senator from Madison. They joined us for a look at their new legislation that would extend the timeline for civil lawsuits for survivors of clergy sexual abuse in Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll get a reaction from a national group of abuse survivors, and you can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Do you support this change in the law we've been talking about? Does it go far enough? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk about a proposed state law that would extend the timeline for civil lawsuits filed by survivors of sexual abuse by clergy. The law would change the current cap from age 35 to age 45. What would you like to know about how states are handling clergy abuse? Are you a survivor yourself? If you'd care to share your story, you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Melanie Sakota joins us now, Survivor Support Coordinator for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Melanie, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, we just heard from this bipartisan pair of lawmakers working to extend that statute of limitations from age 35 to age 45 to be able to file that lawsuit for survivors of clergy abuse. What's your reaction to this proposal?
I think any progress in that direction is great. My ideal would be that there would be no criminal and no civil statute of limitations for child sex abuse.
How much are states moving in that direction toward just lifting that limitation to begin with?
I think the movement is in that direction. You've seen some states have achieved it already. Some states are working towards it. I live in California. California has a bill before the state legislature now to eliminate the civil statute limitations. So that's what the trend is, because people have recognized, I think, two different things. One, that research and studies show that it can take survivors decades to come forward with their stories, to understand what happened to them, to remember it, and to have the courage to come forward. And what you want is you want these people to come forward, because the more we know about who the abusers are, the better able we are to protect children. And unfortunately, those who abuse children often are not stopped as they age. So we want as many of the people as possible who have abused to become known.
How many more people might be eligible to file a lawsuit if we raise that age from 35 to 45 or 50s or beyond? How common is it for people to come forward at later ages?
Studies show that the average age for someone to come forward is 52, which means that you will have some people coming forward below that age and some people waiting until their 60s or 70s. I think the oldest I've heard of is someone in their 80s coming forward for the first time. So you want those windows to be open for two reasons. You want, number one, so you know who the abusers are, so people can protect themselves. And number two, so that other survivors who may have been abused by the same perpetrator can also have an opportunity to know that they were not the only ones. A lot of survivors feel that it was something that they did, that they're the only ones this has happened to. So whenever you have someone coming forward and getting names out in the public, other people can begin their healing journey by saying, oh, it happened to me too.
Part of the goal is to hold individual perpetrators accountable. How important are these kind of lawsuits, though, when it comes to holding an institution accountable, maybe a religious organization that didn't do its job at keeping its own members in line?
I think they're extremely important. They're the main reason why institutions have begun any changes to help protect children within their institutions. And it's going to have to, I think it hurts them where they feel it. It hurts them in their bottom line. And it also provides the secondary help to the survivors. Mental health care in this country is not often within reach of the average person. It's expensive. And this can help people on their healing journey by providing them with the resources they need to get the help that they need.
As a survivor support coordinator at the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, what kind of help do you see people needing? What are the best ways to support people who are victims of clergy abuse?
I think the best way to do is to listen to them, to believe them, to tell them that you're sorry for what happened, that it wasn't their fault. There are different groups, such as our group. We offer peer-to-peer support. We have leaders in different states that they are welcome to call or email and talk to about what they're going through. We also have a wide variety of virtual support groups, which means that they can talk with a whole group of other survivors about what they experienced and see where it's similar, where it's different, share ideas for what helps with issues. What do other people do about depression, insomnia, anxiety, and then pick from those ideas to see what works best for them to heal themselves.
Now, Wisconsin, sadly, no exception when it comes to clergy abuse stories over the last decades, I guess. Melanie, for somebody listening who is a survivor of this kind of abuse, who hasn't come forward yet, who hasn't sought help, do you have some thoughts, maybe some advice for them?
I think don't suffer alone and in silence. If there are family members or friends that you think would listen to you and believe you, you might start there. If you're not seeing a therapist, you might look into seeing if you can have professional help with recovery. And then reach out further. There's groups, there's our group for primarily for clergy abuse survivors, but there's also other groups, RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, that provides support for survivors of abuse. And whether you're, they will help both clergy abuse survivors and people who are abused in other situations. So there is help out there. Look for it. Don't just suffer. This will always be a part of your life, but you can get better.
And briefly, as a wrap up, Melanie, we've been talking about state laws in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Are you looking toward federal laws that might affect these lawsuits?
Yes, I think the federal laws right now are fairly solidly in support of child victims. It's just that people don't always realize that that's another option, particularly for those who were maybe taken across state lines. That's something you might want to look into. Contact your local FBI office to see whether you can file the criminal charges and to see if there's available. I'm not exactly sure what's available in terms of civil remedies, but I imagine it would be the same. You could sue in federal court.
Melanie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having discussion about this important issue.
That's Melanie Sakota, Survivor Support Coordinator for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. She joined us for a look at proposed state laws that would extend the timeline for civil lawsuits filed by survivors of clergy sexual abuse.